Yeah, he's got to get, you know, back. Ken played in a while, and you know, that was one of a few things that we can't have happen.
Yeah, that was Cliff Kingsbury, not giving a lot of detail on his feelings, but you could tell from the tone, not really happy with the David Johnson fumble. In fact, that was the last we saw from David Johnson. And let me just say this. I was listening to this sports radio show last week, and some dope was like proudly declaring David Johnson was going to have a huge game.
Yeah, that would have been you.
What a moron.
Yeah, listen, I don't like people who pat themselves on the back, but I'm going to tell you that I've seen this in David Johnson for months and months and months, and I've been banging this drum for months and months and months, and I'm getting... I don't know where to go with this, because David Johnson either can't do it or he won't do it. And I don't know what's worse. He came off a 3-week absence where he told the media he was fully healthy and ready to go. He was coming into a lineup and into a game where he needed to reassert his role in this offense under pressure from Kenyon Drake. And he looked like he did not want to run the football.
No.
There were a couple of plays when they handed him the ball. He couldn't have been more plodding. And there was one time when he was like churning his legs ridiculously hard to almost look like he was, I don't know, man. I was really, really, really disappointed in what I saw from him yesterday. And
5 carries, 2 yards, 0.4 yards per carry, 1 catch, 8 yards, fumbled on that play.
Yeah, and he was benched after the fumble, and that fumble turned out to be very, very pivotal. But that fumble was the tipping point. It wasn't a play in and of itself that got him benched. It was a cumulative effect of a guy that just doesn't have it anymore. And how did he get so soft? How did he get so mediocre? That's the question.
I can't doubt that anymore, and I've been, you know, and I'm still going to pull for David Johnson if he gets his opportunities to turn it around. But at this point, there's no reason to believe, really, that it is going to turn around.
Yeah,
the opportunities are going to dwindle. Chase Edmonds is going to be healthy at some point.
Yeah,
Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds both look like better options right now. Quite honestly, here's Cliff Kingsbury was asked after the game. Was it a coach's decision to bench David Johnson?
If memory serves, we didn't see David Johnson after that. Was that a coach's decision following the fumble?
It was.
It's pretty clear.
Yeah.
And I know there's still some David Johnson supporters out there that are saying, oh, it's just one fumble. You still need to ride the guy. If the head coach is making the decision in the course of a close game, by the way, that's pretty much all you need to know.
Yeah, listen, and paying him prematurely the way they did is going to go down as a very costly gaffe for Steve Keim, because there's a lot of
cautionary tale for other teams.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of money that they're on the hook for next year, and it looks to me like David Johnson's done, that he's never ever going to come back from this.
I hope you're wrong.
I hope so too.
Yeah, but I can't say that you are. 602-260-9870 is the phone number. As we open up the phone lines on this Big Red Monday, let's start out with Ron in Gilbert here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. What's up, Ron?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Yeah, doing good.
Love your radio show.
Thank you.
So two big takeaways from me from yesterday's game. Defense is absolutely atrocious. I mean, good God, it just doesn't seem like they can stop anybody for any particular time. I went back and looked at the past two games. They're like over 50%. They're giving up on third down defensively. There's just no way you can win football games that way. And then my other big takeaway, kind of more of a positive note, would be the offense. They seem to be moving in the right direction. Which is kind of what we were really basing the season on, was where Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury moved. And it seems like the offense is kind of starting to find its footing and starting to, if they could just, one game with turnovers, it is bound to happen. They're going to have a turnover real game. But, you know, just your guys' thoughts, if you guys think the offense is moving the way it should be, and the
yeah, absolutely.
All thought it would be.
Look, they found a way in the last two games to have Andy Isabella make big plays, and so that's trending in a better direction. Christian Kirk had his first star moment in a while with three touchdowns, and we couldn't be more happy than him. We got to visit with him last week, and he's a great kid. And that kind of performance adds a dimension to that offense.
By the way, free Pepsi mini cans after three touchdowns, right?
Okay,
we were,
yeah.
We were waiting to see. Christian Kirk scored the touchdown. You get free mini cans.
Okay.
He gave away a lot of mini cans yesterday.
Right. So you had that. You had that stat you threw out there before that in, what, three of their losses, they scored more than 25 points?
Yeah, 25 points against San Francisco on a fierce defense. The only frustration made, to Ron's point, we appreciate the phone call, Ron, the inability to consistently run the football. We saw it as a backbone, really, of the three-game winning streak. They actually ran the ball well against San Francisco. They didn't run it yesterday very well. For a game that was close most of the way, and I know you're going up against the number one rush defense, but 15 carries for running backs yesterday as opposed to 45 pass attempts. That's not really indicative of a game that's that close to me. That's like you're chasing the whole game, which is not the case for the Cardinals.
No.
Let's keep it going on the phone, 602-260-9870. Steve in Phoenix is up next here on Bickley and Murata. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Vince and Dan. I've realized that I have developed a bad attitude about Patrick Peterson. It's cumulative. Ever since he started last year with wanting out in the middle of the season. And it's been one distraction. I'm to the point where I'm going, what's he going to do next? And I say this both off the field and on the field. And he just really needs to get his act together. Yesterday, that offsides thing that he pulled. And I'm just getting tired of his whole act. And I think that they should have a almost a zero tolerance policy on him as a player on and off the field for the future. Because I'm scared, like, what's he going to do next?
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
I don't think Steve's alone in that thought.
No.
I think Patrick Peterson's level of reverence in the eyes of Cardinals fans has almost unanimously fallen. He's not playing well on top of everything else. He had two gigantic penalties yesterday.
I know.
One early on the third down holding play that nullified a sack and led to Tampa Bay's first touchdown. And then you can't line up offsides on a field goal attempt.
I know.
He's in line there. It's pretty easy to see where the ball is.
Yeah, it's a mental error that you can't make in that situation. The thing with Patrick Peterson,
depending on what the calf injury is, the Cardinals might not have to worry about the Patrick Peterson question for a few weeks.
I know. Patrick Peterson, to me, the lesson here is you can't act the way you do when you have success on the football field, because very few players pimp an interception the way he does. I mean, even yesterday,
was the Jordan Hicks interception?
Was it the Jordan Hicks interception that he escorted to the end zone for the? Okay, you can't do that stuff. You can't ask out. You can't do what he's done.
A lot of teams are doing that though. It kind of rubs me the wrong way too.
Collectively, you can't do the things Patrick Peterson has done if you don't back it up on the field. And this year, he hasn't backed it up on the field. You're right. His popularity in the Valley. It's amazing what's happened to it. It's sad. It's sad. I'm looking over your shoulder to picture of Anquan Boldin here, and I'm like seeing the same story play out here. And it's sad.
Will it have the same ending, though?
I don't know.
Patrick Peterson winning a Super Bowl for another team.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, there's some things here that are going on that they're making mistakes with. They paid David Johnson prematurely, and they guaranteed way too much money into next year. That's a big mistake. That's going to affect their ability to spend money next year because they're going to get stuck with this dead weight from David Johnson next year. You watch.
Either way, if it's a cap hit or if it's his presence on the roster.
Either way.
Yeah.
Either way. And then the same thing with Patrick Peterson. You had a chance to trade him at this trade deadline. There were teams allegedly calling. I don't know why they didn't pull the trigger on that. I really honestly don't, because they were not competing for a playoff berth at that point in time. I don't know what they're doing when it comes to those guys and what they're trying to prove. I really don't. But it's those are the bad things. The good things, the offense was real good. The bad things is it just defenses that alternate. Because there were times yesterday during the game when the Cardinals defense stepped up and they were solid. And then right on cue.
Forced three turnovers.
Yeah, then right on cue at the end of the game when you had to make a stop, they just woof.
Yeah, that,
right
well,
down the field.
The end of both halves. The first half touchdown was a backbreaker as
yeah,
well.
Exactly.
602-260-9870 is the phone number. Mike and Chandler's up next here on Bickley and Murata. Hey, Mike.
He just dropped.
Oh, Mike just dropped. All right. 602-260-9870 is the phone number. Let's try Mark in Phoenix here on Bickley and Murata. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. I just wanted to say real quick, thanks to all our veterans out there and thanks to you guys for taking my call. So I've been listening to you guys this morning, and I got to agree, man. I don't know what's going on with David Johnson. I heard you guys talking about it looks like he's running in slow motion. And to me, at this point, if you're really still hurt, take off enough time to completely heal, because we want, you know, that old version of David Johnson back. That's what this offense needs. It's predicated around an explosive, powerful back. So on the offensive side, I mean, I think we're doing really good. I think Cliff is like, he's done a really good job showing that he can kind of morph his game plan week to week to put us in the best position to win. I mean, a couple weeks ago, we were running the ball like crazy, you know, and it was working for us. This week, because of their number one rated, run defense, we passed the ball and it was working pretty well. So that is encouraging moving forward, but the defensive side of the ball, I don't know what's going on. I don't know enough schematically about, you know, what our defense is doing to say is it a personnel issue or is it a scheme issue? If you think about it, we have Patrick Peterson, Byron Murphy, Chandler Jones, Jordan Hicks, Hassan Reddick, Buda Baker, Terrell Suggs. Those names on paper are really good, but it's not completely translating to the field. Would be interested to hear your guys' thoughts on that. Thank you so much for the call, and you guys have a good one.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I agree. I mean, you look at some of those names on paper, and you're intrigued, and I give credit to Buda Baker. I think the last couple weeks he has elevated his game.
Yes.
And he's starting to look again like the player that we thought he was going to be in year three. Chandler Jones again yesterday. Two sacks, forced fumble, tackle for loss. He's been about as consistent as you can get from a pass rushing standpoint, at least putting up sack numbers. You know, Terrell Suggs did some things yesterday. Corey Peters is a rock in the middle. Jordan Hicks has been mostly good. Yesterday he had the big whiff on the Chris Godwin play, which was huge in the outcome of the game, where he didn't wrap up and bounced off and went for 49 yards. But he's mostly been positive.
There's a lot of poor tackling from the Cardinals yesterday.
But it's not
that
blending
seems
to
be a that seems to be an infestation across the NFL. Everybody is trying to strip the football now instead of tackling guys. And there are times when it pays off, and there are times when it is really, really costly. And you say, well, you just wrap the guy up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's almost you know how in the NBA there was a while when nobody would shoot mid-range jumpers? No, I'm going to step back and shoot this three. It's kind of that way in football, with defenders now coming at the football rather than making sure this guy's going to go down at the same time.
The big difference is in the NBA, you can freely practice your mid-range jumper.
True.
You can't really practice tackling anymore in the NFL.
Buda Baker made the one mistake. I mean, Buda Baker tried to shoulder tackle Ronald Jones on that touchdown run. Jordan Hicks got burned on it bad on that last drive. And I'm telling you, that last drive, that it just was way too reminiscent of that Super Bowl, the way that Tampa just went right down the field on
him. Pieces, yes, but it's not blending together as a unit right now, unfortunately, for the Cardinals. And that's been the big thing holding them back from winning a lot more. I think they've played well enough offensively to be a 4 or 5 win team, maybe 6.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely yesterday is a game they should have won. Had they been a little bit more consistent offensively in week one, you might have walked away with a win over Detroit. They're a better team, at least on the offensive side of the football, than their record would indicate right now.
Yeah.
Let's go to Tim in Phoenix here on Big Red Monday. Tim, you're on.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I think that the offense is on point. It's all about the defense. Like right now, of course, that the offense just need a little bit of tweaking. But this offseason, we need to really, really focus on the defense, do a complete overhaul. I think we need to cash in on Patrick Peterson. David Johnson, he's not the it factor. You know, he's not going to make our offense better or worse. We're good there. We just need to focus on the defense. Defense, because if the defense was remotely decent, we probably would be sitting at an 8-2 record right now, because a lot of these games we were in. And so if we just need to do a complete overhaul of the defense, cash in on Patrick Peterson, because he don't want to be here. That put a bad vibe on the rest of the players and the rest of the team. You know, it's just get rid of him, cash in on him, and we just, you know, do a complete overhaul on the defense all across the board from the coaching on down. And
I appreciate the phone call. I don't disagree with really anything they say. The Patrick Peterson question is interesting, though, because there was a time when Patrick Peterson's name would be linked to trade rumors, and the response would be, no, too valuable. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. He's a building block of your defense.
Yeah.
But now over the past year, you've had a guy who's been different levels of disgruntled with the team.
Yeah.
And now the on-field play is not reminiscent of what he was able to do in the past. Even though the Cardinals 2 years ago could have got a boatload for Patrick Peterson, they chose not to.
This trade deadline, there were a lot of phone calls. I don't know if there was if anybody was meeting their price, but it was the time to do it. It really was the time to do it, and they chose not. I don't know why. I don't. They're not going to give him a contract extension.
I wouldn't think so.
So you're going to have to trade him this offseason.
I think that's where this is going, definitely. 602-260-9870, the phone number out to Gilbert. Let's talk to Landon next here on Bickley and Marotta. Hey, Landon.
Hey, guys. How are you this morning?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to touch on the fact that even though we're losing these games, it is still so much more pleasant to watch than all of last season. And you know, at least we're not getting blown out, and we're hanging in there. And a lot of these losses have been what I would call moral victories. And, you know, it's so much better to watch than Josh Rosen. And I really believe that Kyler Murray is the future, and a lot of these guys are touching on the defense. And that was my main point for calling was, I don't know about you guys, but as a fan, as a season ticket holder, I am so frustrated that we did not trade Patrick Peterson at the deadline, because, you know, he had value. He still had a year and a half left on his contract, and he doesn't fit the timeline. You know, we're not going to be maybe at best a wild card team next year. And so it's like, what's the point of keeping this guy around? And, you know, I'm not a general manager that's paid to make these decisions, but is there something to be said about Steve Keim not trading him out of spite due to the fact that he requested so many trades and he's been a distraction and whatnot? I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I would hope that wouldn't be the case.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
That's a really bad way to operate if you're a general manager.
Yeah, and that'd be a really poor reflection of a relationship that used to be really, really good. I mean, wasn't that long ago Patrick Peterson was the face of this defense, taking a helicopter to training camp with Michael Bidwill?
Yeah.
Wasn't that long ago?
That was last year, wasn't it?
2 years ago.
That was 2017.
That was after the all or nothing season.
That was 2016.
Bruce Arians' last year.
Wow, is it time? Time's flying, man.
Yeah, I know.
Was also a time where the Cardinals would very publicly say, "We want Patrick Peterson to retire as an Arizona Cardinal."
Oh yeah. Oh no, I'm totally. Yeah, listen, I don't know which way the story is going. But like I said, there's that picture of Anquan Boldin over your shoulder, mm-hmm. who is not in the Ring of Honor, who will never be in the Ring of Honor. And I really hope that this isn't the same story with Patrick Peterson. I don't know how it's not, though, to be honest with you.
Let's go out to Mesa. Josh has been waiting patiently. He's up next on this Big Red Monday. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks for all you guys do.
Thank you.
Wanted to comment. I think our offense is doing great. I mean, I'm excited about having a franchise quarterback now. I mean, aside from Carson Palmer and Kurt Warner, I can't remember the last time I could say that we have the franchise quarterback that's been winning. But my question is, we talk about Patrick Peterson and the defense and how subpar they've been through, you know, a good portion of this season. My question is, how hot is the seat of Vance Joseph right now with scheme?
It's a great question, and I don't know how to pare that down right now. I don't know how to pair. I do know this. The points allowed by the Arizona Cardinals, it's the most in the NFL. So no matter what you think of the scheme or the metrics or the analytics, at the most basic level of playing defense, they are failing more than any other team in the NFL. They're number one in points allowed. Unless I saw it wrong in the standings, I went down the list. I think they've given up 289 points, most in the NFL.
At least 20 in every game.
And that's a shame. It's a shame to me, and I said this weeks and weeks and weeks ago, it's a shame to me that you roll the dice on a let's win now by drafting this kid and pairing him with a rookie head coach and giving him a system he already knows so they can succeed from the get, and then have the defense, which has been broken now for 2 years running, hold them back. The fact, when the previous caller said they could be 8-2 with a good defense, I just kind of laughed at it. But then when you start thinking about it, you're like, huh, okay.
The Cardinals have the second most
second
points.
The Giants have given up 8 more points
okay.
than them.
All right, so that's still a really, really bad statistic to have. And that, to me, that's a failure. That's not a failure of Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. That's a failure of Steve Keim in this front office to produce this offense that is performing this well in year one, and then this defense over here that's sabotaging it all. It's a shame.
Well,
it's a colossal
mess. The disappointment for me is that even last year, and maybe it's perception because the offense was so historically bad last year,
mm-hmm.
you didn't look at the defense as, you know, wretched.
Yeah.
They were near the bottom of the league, but there was a handful of teams. Miami, San Francisco, the Jets, Cincinnati, Tampa Bay, Oakland all gave up more points than the Cardinals last year. But the Cardinals obviously had the worst point differential because their offense was so bad.
Yeah.
I thought there was stuff to build on defensively, even though you were changing coordinators and changing back to the 3-4 scheme. We just haven't seen any improvement on that side of the ball, and that's unfortunate through 10 weeks of the season. There's no question about that. Let's go to one more call here. John in Levine is up next here on Bickley and Murata. Hey, John.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
Good.
Good. Hey, I wanted to comment on David Johnson and what I think is actually his problem. I truly believe he is suffering from the Adrian effect from Rocky II, if you will. And let me explain that. If you remember back in, I forget the year, but when he was going for his 1,000-1,000, and he hurt his knee in the Rams game, and he did an interview, and when I was talking with Jarrett before I got on the phone, he said it was actually on your show. And he said at that time his wife wanted him to quit when he hurt his knee. And I just have this feeling that she has been chirping in his ear ever since. And now that he has the big contract, it's getting even worse. I don't want you hurt. We have a family. You know, we've got kids. Things are too important right now. You know, those are my thoughts. I'd really be interested to hear what you guys
Have. Listen, I would be lying if I did not hear the same thing. I would also say that we should all have somebody to care for us as much if somebody was telling you to not play a violent sport.
You think anybody cares about me that way?
Right, exactly.
No way.
So my point is the story can go from here to there, that you go over that bridge really quickly and you can start blaming people for loving somebody enough to take care of them.
Yeah.
And I'm not comfortable going there.
And that storyline bled over into Rocky III, too. Remember the scene on
right,
the beach?
Right.
Look,
right.
I go in the ring, I get busted up, I don't care. Yeah. Now there's you, there's a kid. I don't want to lose what I got.
But does David Johnson look like Neil Anderson? And my Bears fans in the audience will know exactly who I'm talking about. Does he look like a guy who's taken one hit too many and realizes, I don't need to do this anymore? Yeah, he does. He does look exactly like that guy. Is he that guy? I don't know yet.
There's time for him to turn it around, certainly, and the Cardinals might not have a choice. I mean, there's a lot of money changing hands there.
Right.
They'd be better off getting something from him, but to see him benched yesterday in a close game after a fumble and really an uninspiring performance before that fumble, it was pretty telling.
Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah, thanks for the phone calls. We'll continue breaking down the Cardinals' loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's Big Red Monday. We come to you live from the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center. Don't forget, head coach Cliff Kingsbury joining us at 1 o'clock today here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata's Big Red Poetry Slam.
Oh, yeah. Here we go, my brothers and sisters. The Big Red Poetry Slam as I recap the Cardinals game in poem form. Here we go. Down to Tampa Bay against our old friend B.A. And man, what a game that was, baby. But there was much more to it. Because the whistleblowers blew it. And the end result drove us crazy. And oh, what a waste. Because the game plan Bruce faced was brilliantly called by Kingsbury. A fake punt, fourth down calls, Cliff showed some big guts, and there were even picks by the secondary. And how about Christian Kirk? That guy came to work, and the offense he beautifully carried. With each Kyler throw, Captain Kirk would boldly go where no man has gone before. Well, maybe Larry. And then there's the back, who didn't do jack. In fact, he gave it away. You can be nice and humble, but if you can't run and you fumble, then David Johnson, you ain't gonna play. By the end of the game, there were many to blame. Dumb penalties, the sun, and bad luck. But one thing was clear in the loss to the Buccaneers. The refs had a saying, "What the buck?"
Is that what we said?
Well, radio edit there.
We appreciate that, Jarrett. Jarrett Carlin's a big red poetry slam. Putting it to rhymes, the Cardinals lost yesterday to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, obviously, a big discussion has been recently David Johnson. It's a big discussion after yesterday's game. Not the only storyline from yesterday's game, but it's a big one. People are wondering. People are concerned. People are frustrated about it. Yesterday, 5 carries, 2 yards. When you consider the last game he played in was the Giants game, that's where he got 1 carry. He's got 4 yards rushing in his last 2 games. Now, it was only 1 carry there. But he's also got a 7-carry, 14-yard game this year, 11 carries for 37, 11 carries for 40 yards, 12 carries for 34 yards. Since the beginning of 2017, David Johnson's averaging 3.6 yards per carry.
Yeah.
He was over 4 his first 2 games, or first 2 years in the league.
Right.
So people are speculating what's going on, why does he not look like the same player. I will say this, Bick, I feel dirty as hell talking about what might be affecting somebody's mental state, whether it's family related or not, but people have speculated on it. And when there's a quote out there like this from our show in 2017, I believe, from David Johnson himself, it really does make you wonder 2 years later.
She was very mad. That's when she told me to quit playing.
Yeah, really? Yeah. And how serious was she?
She was very serious. The biggest thing, though, is because she didn't go to the game. And she was trying to call everyone that she could to find out what was exactly wrong.
Right.
And she called Anthony Edwards, and she was just panicking, and she wanted to know exactly what was wrong, and she didn't find out right away. And I think that's the biggest thing, not knowing what was wrong.
Yeah, listen, like I said, I would be lying if I did not hear that might be a motivating factor in where this story has gone.
I've heard the same thing as well.
And anybody who is being honest with you will tell you the same thing. But again, that is not something that you need or should pass judgment on. That's their relationship. They love one another. And that's more important than anything that happens on a football field. So it ultimately comes down to David Johnson and what he wants to be and what he chooses to be. Your Rocky analogy from that movie was right on the money. You played me the cut. It's like scary. So it's really up to him now and whether or not he's comfortable playing like this and accepting the money that he's getting paid. I wouldn't be.
Yeah. Well, there's a follow-up cut from that same interview. Mm-hmm. The follow-up question was, how were you able to talk your wife off the ledge after that injury you suffered in the last game of 2016?
How did you talk her off the ledge? Did you say, listen, baby, I'm good. I don't get injured that easily. I've got great genetics. How do you talk a partner off the ledge with stuff like that?
That's what it was. I said, look, it looked worse than it is. It's only a grade 2. The only thing that is just swelling. And I told her that, you know, this is, I was blessed. blessed for that to happen. I think God has taught me, and he's telling me that I still could still be playing this sport, and that you know, I love this sport.
Yeah.
I love this sport, and I want to play as much as I can, as long as I can. And I think once she, her adrenaline came down, once she calmed down, you know, she came to her senses and stuff.
Like I said, it's impossible for people from the outside not to speculate when something like that is out there. And I had another movie example. Hearing David Johnson say those words, it looks worse than it is. Jerry Maguire, that scene at the end of the, Rod Tidwell's taking all these shots, and his whole family's watching Monday Night Football, and the kid says, what does daddy always say? It looks worse than it is. It's a physical sport. I get it. I really hope David Johnson takes it upon himself to quiet all of the speculation.
But come on. When is that going to happen, Diddy? We've been waiting.
I'm not predicting it. Yeah. I predicted it last week. I was wrong. I'm not predicting.
Yeah, I'm out of the hoping business.
I'm hoping.
Yeah, I'm out of the hoping business with him. I think it's pretty obvious now he just doesn't have the taste for it anymore. That's because he had 3 weeks off and a guy threatening to take his starting job. As you pointed out, and before last week's game, there were people who were wanting to give David Johnson the benefit of the doubt. I told you, Doug and Wolf got into a mini spat about this. Because Wolf was of the opinion that, hey, he's earned this. He's been productive. Yet the eyeballs, when you watch him play, you're like, what happened to you, dude? And so I think the hoping's over. I just wonder what if the Cardinals can get to him now.
Yeah.
Because look at this. The contract that David Johnson signed before the 2018 season began fully guaranteed half of his $10.2 million salary for next year at signing. All right, so it's not just the money he's making this year. Half of his salary is guaranteed next year. And so then if you keep him next year because you don't want to forego that salary, that 10.2, well, I'm sorry, the other half became fully guaranteed earlier this year, so he's getting all that 10.2 next year, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then if he's on the roster next March, he gets $2.1 million guaranteed of his 2021 salary. Steve Keim did not do that well. This is going to go down as a really premature, bad signing.
WWE 2K20 is available now for Xbox One and PS4. We're giving you the chance to win a copy. Just head to the rewards page at arizonasports.com for your chance to win. WWE 2K20 is rated T14. Coming up, we'll continue to talk Cardinals Bucks from yesterday. So much to unpack from it. To help us do that, from azcardinals.com, Darren Urban will join us next. It's Bickley and Murata coming to you live from the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center on this Big Red Monday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
You want to know the truth? The truth is I don't want to lose what I got. In the beginning, I didn't care about what happened to me. I go in a ring, I get busted up. I didn't care. But now there's you, there's the kid. I don't want to lose what I got.
It is Bickley and Murata on this Big Red Monday. We're coming to you live from the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center. Joining us here at the broadcast location from azcardinals.com. Back from Tampa, Darren Urban from azcardinals.com. Darren, thanks for stopping by.
I appreciate you having me.
It was such... We started the show by saying so much to unpack from that game. A lot of it positive, so much of it negative and frustrating. But which one of those sentiments do you think will prevail when it's all said and done after all this?
I mean, the Monday after the game, it's going to be the negative stuff because you lost the game, and that's what makes it really difficult. I mean, I do think there's a lot of stuff to get excited about. I mean, it's nice to see Christian Kirk have that kind of game. You know, again, coming with a caveat that the Buccaneers can't play pass defense. I've thought for a long time in this offense, Christian Kirk has a real chance to be a Pro Bowl type receiver, and that's the kind of game he had yesterday. And they did do a lot of good things offensively through the air. And I think I like the idea that Cliff Kingsbury is getting a little bit more risky with going for it on fourth down. I've come to the conclusion that a lot of analytics people have, and I wouldn't consider myself analytics at all, of going for it on fourth down, you need to consider that a lot more often than NFL coaches do, and I like the fact he's willing to do that.
Yeah, I also think that yesterday the Max William play sort of also defies analytics in that you can't quantify what that moment's going to do to certain guys, so maybe you pick different guys to throw it to in that situation. But I agree with you. In a larger vein, Cliff Kingsbury came off of a couple of weeks where a handful of his decisions were highly scrutinized, somewhat controversial. What's your takeaway on a game in which he was so prepared, his play calling was so sharp and so on it, to not be rewarded, to end up being a victim of it all?
I think ultimately it goes back to, hey, this is still played by human beings. And we can talk about what great coaches can do and everything, but the coaches can't go out and play, and you can make all the best calls, and it, like in the case of the Max Williams play, you know, you might get a drop, or the Suns in the worst place. I mean, if they call that and they're going the other way, that works,
right?
So I guess in the end, you know, I think Cliff Kingsbury is absolutely going in the right direction as a play caller. I think he's kind of growing into his job as an NFL type head coach. And I know there's a lot of frustrated fans out there, and I understand that. But in a year that always felt like it was going to be the learning curve type of year, I think this is what's happening right now.
Yeah, Darren Urban of azcardinals.com, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. We just had the David Johnson discussion. We had open phones. David Johnson's name came up a lot yesterday. He was benched in that game, for lack of a better term. After the fumble, he did not return. And saying that you're 100% and being 100% are two different things. All that being considered, Darren, do you view this as David Johnson is just running out of opportunities at this point?
Well, I mean, once the coach decides, you know, especially in that situation, that he's not going to put you back in the game, obviously that's a kind of a big red flag in that regard. I will say that rewatching some of the game, the play right before the fumble, when they did the stretch play, and quite frankly, David looked very slow getting out to the edge, and it looked like he might be able to, running faster, might be able to get the edge and at least get 3 or 4 yards. When I rewatched that, especially when he first made the cut to go outside, I'm not an expert. I'm not a trainer. He did not look like a guy who trusted his ankles to the point where he was going to be able to push. Now, I could be wrong, and I know a lot of fans are like, this has nothing to do with the injuries. This is just where he is as a player, and that's possible. Mm-hmm. But he didn't look like he fully trusted his body. So I don't know. I don't know where you go with David Johnson at this point. It's going to be, I think, a tough situation, at least in the short term, to figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah, and how about the lack of justice for Kyler Murray to put together that incredible interceptionless streak, have it end on a play like that when you've got the game pretty much in the back pocket, and it really isn't that much of your fault because your receiver slips? What do you make of all of that? Those confluence of events in that point in time of the game?
You know, all along, Kyler Murray has been saying, I've got this interceptionless streak, and it has nothing to do with me being super careful with a ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do think, obviously, if Trent Sherfield doesn't slip, that's at least an incompletion because he battles. I mean, stuff's going to happen, and not all interceptions are directly on one player or because it was a bad play. I know Cliff Kingsbury tried to come out and say, I just made a bad play call. I brought that up to Kyler Murray after the game, and he's like, no. He goes, I never should have thrown it. I should have realized the situation. I like how they both responded on that. But look, turnovers are going to happen. I think getting over the edge in terms of, hey, this team's never going to turn the ball over ever game, that's a kind of a high standard to get at. But because of where this defense is and what you need the offense to do, you don't have a whole lot of margin for error either.
Yeah.
Darren Urban, azcardinals.com, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Once upon a time this year, Darren, the thought was, once Patrick Peterson comes back, everything's going to be fine. They're 1-3 since Patrick Peterson came back. He's not played especially well. And I know he got hurt yesterday toward the tail end of that game and looked really frustrated. And if you gauge a player's reaction to what happens to him, it didn't look very good.
No.
But where is this whole Patrick Peterson situation? I mean, there's so much mystery on his happiness level. If he wants to be here, I mean, the performance, quite honestly, against San Francisco was curious. He owned it going into this game, but he had two huge penalties, which affected the game yesterday as
one.
Well.
One, but I just want to clarify, because I did hear you earlier. There was one early in the game, the defensive holding. They announced Patrick Peterson,
okay.
But it was Kevin Peterson who made the hold. So
gotcha.
I know there's a lot of fans out there ready to jump on Patrick right now, so I did feel like the need to
clarify. No, that's good.
But the offside one, especially when the referee says he lined up offside.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, he's trying to get to a place where he can go block. He went all out on that field goal block that he was offsides on. Mm-hmm. If he's lining up because he's trying to get there. I feel like there's a little credit, but you have to be on sides, and it cost you 3 points ultimately. I don't know. I know you were saying you don't know where Patrick's want to in terms of wanting to be here is. I don't know if it matters anymore in terms of him saying anything, because the way this has all gone, there's a lot of fans that don't believe him anyways. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what his upside is to saying, well, I want to be here. It's fair to talk about where he is in his contract because he's got 1 year left. I understand all those things. I do think this. I think if this calf injury ends up being serious and he's going to miss a couple games, as struggling as he might be on the field, I don't think this team really wants to have more games without Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
I really believe that. So, you know, I think it's a tough situation. I think it would be nice to get some kind of clarity, I think, for both sides. But I do think it's better for him to be on the field than not.
Hmm. All right. One of the shames of the season, and none of this is perfect, and it's not easy, otherwise every team would be winning, is you paired together a rookie head coach and a quarterback, and you empowered him with a system he already knew in hopes that they could hit the ground running, and by all accounts they have. The other side of the football, the Cardinals, their defense, there are times when they look sturdy and on it. There are times, especially end of halves, end of games, when they just can't lock down and close out. What are the issues that, in your opinion, that need to be addressed on the defensive side to get this thing right going forward?
You know, there's been a lot of conversation, and again, fans get upset, especially in game, of what all is going on. I mean, for me, I don't know if you can really know exactly what you have with Vance Joseph as a defensive coordinator, because I do think they need help personnel-wise, both in terms of getting certain guys experience because they're so young, and both just with upgrades. I mean, if you go line by line across that defense, you know, Chandler Jones is a potential Pro Bowler. We just talked about where Patrick Peterson is. I think Buda Baker has had some really nice last couple games, and he's looked sharp. I think Byron Murphy will eventually be good. I think Corey Peters is a guy you want on your defensive line, and that's not a whole lot of names. Jordan Hicks has had a nice year, but you need some playmakers there. You need some playmakers on the defensive side of the ball that can make some things happen, and I just don't know if they have enough of those guys yet. And I think that's the biggest problem, especially when you start talking about these third and long plays where, you know, I mean, there was a play yesterday, Mr. Molasses, Jameis Winston, was able to jitterbug and get past both Cassius Marsh and Terrell Suggs. I mean, you can't have that.
Yeah. we were talking off the air before we started. It was one of the more recent frustrating losses we've seen by the Cardinals, because there were so many opportunities. Darren, thanks for coming by. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave.
Darren Urban, azcardinals.com. He and Kyle Odegaard do a great job. The whole content team at azcardinals.com, they do a great job covering the team. He joined us here at the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center. You know what's up next? The Bickley Blast is straight ahead. You better write that, Bick.
That
it's Bickley and Murata on this Big Red Monday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.